Uh-oh.
Speaking there.
Who's chopping things?
Not me.
Oh, sorry. Not me.
So
somebody's operating a guillotine.
Nope.
Oh,
not it is not today.
Yeah.
Just wish you were.
Yeah.
I think Brita with a guillotine would be both awesome and terrifying. And messy.
Thank you, Jay.
Depends on whether she liked you or
not. Well, you know.
There'd be any soccer games.
Don't.
I gotta tell you, working with the public is. It is trying.
Yes.
And it gets worse, like, every day. I mean, but at the same time, it's like the people who are normal, regular, everyday people are great. But then you get, like, the random junkie that comes in. Mm. Or. I'm going to have to vent here on this show, I think.
That's fine. Vent away. You know,
we've had two junkies this week at the library where I work. And this is, if you go to like an urban library, it's not significant because it's like, you know, the junkies live in the library pretty much. And all the librarians are like, yeah, well, you know, we have to try, you know, take care of everybody and it's a public place and you have to be like empathetic to everybody. But I work in a little tiny suburban library. I mean, it's small. Our city is like literally like 4 square miles. So it's a small little city. And it's one of those places where like everybody knows each other and it's like the same people every day come to the library and you know people. And then all of a sudden, like some random junkie shows up. And I've had two junkies this week. The first one actually, like, he came in and he was fine in the morning and he came in and he asked for the newspaper. It was totally normal. And then he disappeared into the bathroom for a while. And then he came out and he sat on one of the computers right in my direct line of vision and proceeded to, like, be high in front of me. And I was like, oh, no. And I yelled at him and I said, you can't sleep in the library. And he very, like, you know, because it, I don't know if you've ever seen anybody who's done heroin, but it looks like they're kind of falling asleep, you know? And I told him, I said, you can't sleep in the library. And he proceeded to gather his things and says, you know, I'm getting out of here. And he walks to the back of the library instead of to the front where the exit is. And then today I had like this really like scary dude come in and he was polite the entire time, but he was like filthy. And then he had like a duct tape bandage on his forearm. And at a certain point he left the library and then he came back and he was wearing only a vest with no shirt underneath it. And he was like practically half naked. And at that point I said, no. And it's just, people, you know, go to your public libraries and speak up for your public libraries because they are great services and they have so much to offer like the people of their communities, but they're turning into shitholes because of this liberal mentality of it's almost like librarians. Now, librarianship is like almost like a contest of who can be the most empathetic to the dregs of society. And then they turn around. I'm sorry, I'm totally venting. But then they turn around and they're like, well, why isn't anybody coming to the library?
Yeah.
Why is our circulation down? Well, because you have junkies shooting up in the bathroom and people who don't wash themselves sitting at the computers and, like, you know, the weirdo looking at porn on his phone in the newspaper area. That's why.
Yeah.
But there's this, like, whole, like, librarianship thing of, oh, we have to, like, be empathetic to people and we have to, like, take care of all of society because it's a public place and it belongs to everybody no matter what. And you know where my... my empathy lies. My empathy lies with the mother of the three-year-old who wants to come in and get picture books, and the little old lady who's trying to learn how to do email, and like, you know, someone is coming in to, like, I have, you know, to take a test, and like the dude who wants the newspaper, and that, like, these are legitimate library users.
Right.
That's where my empathy is. I feel bad for them because they have to come in and look at some shithead on heroin who is like inflicting himself on them. Okay, rant over.
Keep going.
I've had a week. Let's just say that I have had a week.
You know,
and
you
it's
can,
just it has.
You can make a parallel. Yeah. And I'm going to do it right now. You can you know, like socialism. That sounds great and never works anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
This, you know, do whatever you want. You know, fuck the rules. You're not my boss. You can't tell me how to behave. You know, that liberal thing that's happened since the 60s has been a complete mm-hmm. disaster.
Right.
Of course. You know,
yes, the rules of proper behavior are chafing sometimes. And you know, but guess what? The shit works. You know, there's a reason for those things. And there's and when you throw all that out, you throw out, you know, the things that made interaction between humans bearable.
Yes.
And it's turned into a disaster. And I think so, you know, we keep pointing to social media and what a cesspool it is. That's the end result of, you know, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
You know, mentality. It turns into a disaster.
Well, you know, the people like junkies who inhabit libraries, they
it is like the second most selfish thing you could possibly do.
Sure. But like it's like they know to be polite. And they know to just kind of like skirt the rules. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So that they can do whatever they want. They're and
experts at gaming the system.
Of course they are. They're, you know, addicts are master manipulators. Just.
Yep.
So, and then you get, you know, people who have no sense of danger. You know, they probably kicked me out today. This Facebook group, they probably banned me from their group today. But, you know, it was a librarian support thing on Facebook. And I said something about how, you know, first time ever, you know, in my very small suburban library, we had two junkies in 1 week. And I got scolded because I dared to call them junkies. And don't you have a more empathetic term for these people? Because they are human beings, after all. And we're supposed to take care of them because the library belongs to everybody.
Why is it just the library? I mean, you know, prisons belong to everyone, too.
Well, because it's a public place, right? Oh. It's a public place, and it's accessible to everyone.
There's a courthouse, but they're not shooting up at the courthouse. You know why? Because they send you through a metal detector.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, yeah, it's the same with, you know, City Hall and, you know, all the other public buildings that they don't let the homeless people congregate in.
Right.
Schools, public places.
Right.
Do they let the homeless in? No, they don't.
No.
Why is it that libraries seem to be the, you know, expected to be the exception to everything?
Do you want my answer?
Oh, yes. I don't know why, but yeah, go ahead.
No. I have an answer.
Okay.
And the answer is liberal women.
Well, that's.
That's my answer. They have like a competition. You know how women are. They compete about every fucking thing in the universe, right? Oh, so yeah. These librarians, these liberal women librarians, they somehow have gotten together and they have a competition to find out like who can be the most empathetic and helpful and self-sacrificial to the fucking like dregs of society. That so, I do not have an answer other than that, but from what I've seen, that's what it looks like to me. I mean, I had this conversation with a woman today, and she was saying that when someone comes into her library who appears to be like high or, you know, has done heroin or is drunk or whatever, altered in some sort of fashion, the first thing they do is they take the children and move all of the children away from said individual. And then the librarian goes up to the individual and asks if they are okay and do they need anything.
Wow.
It would go
away. And I responded, I said, what about your safety? Well, I've never felt unsafe. Well, that doesn't mean you are unsafe. I mean, it's like, God.
It's like, yeah, it's like those, like we were talking about a while back. It's like those people that go on the bike tour of Iraq.
Yeah.
Because people are nice everywhere. You just treat them nice and they'll treat you nice right back.
Or if you will, Timothy Treadwell. Oh, the Bears are just big frat boys.
Oh, my God. That dude.
Yeah. Or those people that get, wasn't there, there's a video going around now right now of some, like somebody getting tossed by a bison at Yellowstone or something.
Yeah, because
like,
they take selfies
with a little girl. Yeah.
And these people are like, oh, look at the animals. Let's get up close and get a selfie. And
they were petting a bison.
Yeah.
They were petting the bison.
Mother Nature doesn't care. And she will fuck you up.
Have either of you ever like been in close proximity to a bison?
Yes, they're enormous.
They're fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
Yes.
I understand why people shot them with 45-70s.
Yeah.
They are
because they wanted to make sure.
Because the 20-millimeter Lottie hadn't been invented yet.
Right.
They're massive and has these enormous horns and a perpetual bad attitude. They just kind of look at you like, I may stomp you later. I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back to that.
They're like nature's heavy cavalry, you know? It's
like an armored division. Yep. They're pretty much the closest thing we have to rhinos.
Yeah, they really are. It's about the same weight mass.
Yeah. Now, of course, I want to see a rhino and a buffalo fight. Because I'm like that. I'm like, do you guys remember when MTV used to be like kind of cool? They had Celebrity Deathmatch.
Yes.
All claymation, and it was.
You know, I remember that. That was fun.
I want a bison rhino Celebrity Deathmatch. Somebody needs to make. But yeah, and people just wander up and pet them and take selfies next to them and generally startle them and make them uncomfortable. And unlike librarians, bison are animals and can get away with trampling and goring people if they feel uncomfortable around them.
Yeah, it's okay when they do it.
Rita, have you thought about growing horns?
Every fucking day.
I was like, oh, I don't even know what muscle to flex.
Well, I have to tell you that the junkie today, and I'm kind of proud of myself, after I was very assertive with him, he decided to leave the library, and I messaged the evening librarian and he has not been back today.
Nice.
Well, it's just a matter of like, you know, you gotta like let these people know that you see them and you know what they are and you're not to be fucked with.
Right.
So hopefully, you know, hopefully he won't be back forever. I don't know.
So what you're telling us is the death stare works.
It does.
You're like, I'm going to run up, take your needle, fill it with air, and inject you for an aneurysm. Go away.
Yeah. So it's, I guess, you know, my death stare and my unflappable nature kind of, you know, put him off, and he probably realized, well, this is not really a friendly place, and the librarian kind of has got my number, so.
The librarian is likely to shank me, so I think I'm going to move on.
Yeah, I did have a knife today, so. But then I thought, and I, like, literally, I spend the day like, well, if I had to shank him, he probably has hepatitis.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
most assuredly. And
where do I go with that? Know. Like, I don't know. Maybe a baseball case. Bat.
Best case, he only has hepatitis.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. The duct tape bandage around his arm was very worrisome to me today. So anyway.
Yeah, that's classy.
Visit your local library.
Cool.
Yeah, be nice to your librarians, because they probably put up with a lot of shit.
We love our local library. It's very.
Do you?
Yes. We've actually been there quite a few. They hold NaNoWriMo classes in November. My daughter's attended. Nice. That's where we are. It's where we got our. I have a passport. It's so weird, but I got it at the library. They actually have that.
Yes, we do that at our library too. Yep.
With all of the stuff, and they look very disapproving, and then they send it off. They're like, I don't know about this picture. I'm like, it'll work, trust me. So I have quite possibly one of the worst pictures, but I figured that's how I'm going to look if I'm traveling internationally. So
there you go.
I'm going to look like this guy's a few burgers shy of a Happy Meal, folks. Make sure you put him in the middle seat next to somebody who listens to their fucking music without their fucking headphones on. I'm like, oh, that's it. You just got biological warfare, and I was playing the 1812 overture, punctuating with a cannon shot. Boom. I'm watching everyone around me. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe it's a guy without the headphones on. They're like, no, we're pretty sure something died. I just love traveling. But because it's interacting with the general public.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's awful. Yeah, so we did a show without Jay last week.
That was hard.
I don't know if anybody...
Yeah, Jay.
You know what? It was...
I mean, missed you a lot, Jay.
It's the first... I think Jay and I have done one or two where it's just us.
It does turn into a sausage fest. It really does. But we're like, our car is going...
Yeah. Brita and I have never done one... Just the two of us, and we decided to go ahead and do it, but we kept hitting these awkward pause things where we could, like, both of us kept expecting Jay to jump in
and come up with a rant or something.
Yeah,
sorry.
it's like when two introverts are missing their extrovert.
Podcast pro tip.
Yeah.
Have a psychotic Italian.
There you go.
Have some sort of extrovert of a type. So
don't do the introvert show, because,
or at least I could fake it well enough.
Yeah. I don't think it was terrible though. It was just a different pacing.
Good.
I think
we have lots and lots of topics.
We did, yeah.
And
topics now that I can't even remember from last week. So
one of the big ones, this was a big one because both Alan and I posted it.
Okay.
Those hit hardest by student loan debt never finished college. both of us posted.
I know. Like, well, because it's a pet peeve of both of us too.
Oh my God! It's one of those things that, like, you know, people who carry anvils most likely to drown. No shit.
Yeah. Yeah. People who can't swim, you know, it's like, yeah.
You know, people who are blind are the worst drivers. Well, yeah. People who are allergic to peanut butter shouldn't eat Reese's peanut butter cups. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I think they need to start making colleges liable for for these loans. I mean, they make it, you know, it's a moral hazard problem. You got these colleges who make a shitload of money off of these off of this basically unlimited, you know. I mean, you can literally get a, no matter how crappy your credit is, no credit, whatever, you can get a student loan.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is show up, get accepted to some college somewhere, and they'll all take you, you know, one way or another. You can, anybody that wants to can get into a college. The problem is that they're accepting people that have absolutely no hope of graduating.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to learn. They don't want to learn. And they've been coddled since day one that they are the center of the universe.
And then they get loaded up with this college, you know, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 or more
per semester.
Oh yeah, and you know, and the worst ones are the ones that almost graduate and then drop out. You know, I went to college for 3.5 years and then dropped out. Well, aren't you a dumbass?
Yeah, like why did you do that? Jesus? That's like going to the Chevy dealership, buying a Corvette.
Yeah.
Making payments for 4.5 years and then just, fuck it.
Yeah.
I'll just.
Yeah. I mean, I can kind of understand, you know, giving it a year and going, yeah, this ain't for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't understand going into debt for it, but you know, if you try college, because everybody says, oh yeah, you got to go to college. Yeah, I totally get trying for a year and going, yeah, this ain't working. That's understandable. 3 years and then dropping out? What the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, barring unforeseen circumstances, you know. I mean, have like, you know, significant tragedy in your family. Okay. Yeah, you know, but that's
but at
rare.
At the same time, these people are getting student loans for careers that they have no hope of making enough money to pay off the student loan. You know, they're getting student loans for grievance studies. And, you know, they are that, you know, all this, you know, women's studies, black studies, you know, all this, you know, Asian studies, whatever, you know, I mean, all the grievance studies, the grievance programs, what are you going to get a job with that?
Right.
That pays anything, you know,
you're gonna be a diversity counselor.
English lit majors, you know. Damn. And if you got the money and you want to go to school and get an education, get a nice, you know, liberal education, fine. I don't have a problem with that. But taking out a loan to do that is just stupid. And I think the colleges need to be held responsible for a lot of this. If they admit people that they know will not have a chance of paying off that student loan or even completing college to get a degree, they should be on the hook for that.
Yeah.
Can I interject something?
Absolutely.
Because I see this at the library a lot. I see people who are in college, and I'm doing air quotes because they're in college, but they're really not doing anything. And it's almost like, it's almost like welfare. It's almost like government subsidized something to do.
Yeah, it's government subsidized. Wait till college is free for everybody.
Well, I know, but it's, you have these people who really are like, they can't put a sentence together. They can't speak properly. They can't write properly. They don't know anything about math. And they're in college, air quotes.
Yeah.
And it's, the government is funding their college,
right.
And it is, I mean, and I can only imagine that they're on other sorts of assistance, like, sure, you know, Section 8 and whatever assistance they can get. I don't even know because I have a job and a real life, but, it's like a government funded something for you to do so that you're not in the street.
Do you know what it is? It's advanced.
Whatever. It's advanced what?
Daycare.
Yeah. Yes. Because yes.
You are grossly unprepared for the real world. You know,
yes.
My parents' generation, our parents' generation, and for the most part, our generation, you could graduate from high school and go out and get a job and work and have a life. You got an apartment. You got a shitty apartment. You ate ramen noodles a lot, but you could be on your own because you developed it. You know, people use latchkey child like it was a bad thing. But you know what we learned to do? We learned to fucking take care of ourselves.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, totally. There's been like a backlash where I'm going to do everything for my precious little snowflake.
Right.
And all
precious,
the way.
To, yeah. Precious until snowflake they suddenly can't do anything.
They graduate high school and they're completely fucking clueless. They don't know how to pump gas. They don't know how to shop in a grocery store. They don't know how to do laundry.
They don't know how to cook food for themselves.
Right. Yeah. They're like, they're just large 5-year-olds.
Yeah.
About as equally likely to throw tantrums.
Oh, they do that too.
Yeah. So, okay, we send them off to college. Now, I've heard a pretty reasonable proposition that says you want to go to college, and you want a loan, you're going to take a STEM course. Science, technology. That you are going to go for a degree that is going to that has a high probability of landing you a fucking job.
I agree.
Not studies, not art. Yeah, nothing wrong with art, but there's very few art jobs out there. Just like history.
Yeah.
You know, but you get hard science. More than likely, there's something you can do. Your engineering, your math,
engineering, chemistry, physics, math.
Right.
You know,
have a high probability of getting you a career that'll help you, you know, pay back those student loans.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and I see things like
even a business degree.
Right.
For God's sake.
Even history, that can be political science, which while we don't like politicians, there sure are a lot of them. And they all need aides and spokes.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So,
like, you know,
like Mueller. Excellent segue, Alan. That was top notch segueing right there. But, you know, that you have to go into a field where there's a high likelihood that you will find a job upon graduation
and can pay back your loan.
Right. Right. Exactly. And, you know, it really bothers me that the left is fond of, like, oh, these banks and their predatory lending, blah, 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 while ignoring the fact that college tuition has outpaced inflation like 5-1.
It's outpaced everything.
It's just, it's skyrocketing. And, you know, you've got things like colleges. If you look at the cost of college, it's insane. Colleges you've never fucking heard of, $60,000 a year.
Yeah.
That's a quarter of $1 million.
And that's why I've put forward a proposal.
We're gonna eat the children of the rich?
No. We're gonna start a university.
Irish.
We're gonna start a college.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And we're gonna get some of that sweet government money.
Hell yes.
That it will, you know, we'll sign people up. We don't care if they graduate or not. We'll make shitloads of money.
There was an old SNL skit back when they used to be funny where they did that. It was they show up. The kids show up, they go party for 4 years, and you give them a degree. You know, you don't say anything, we give you the degree.
Right.
I we'll have to find the clip because it's actually pretty funny.
It can't be any worse than, you know, what they turn out now in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
You know.
You know, again, there's nobody says, why are colleges charging this much money?
Well, it's
the bank's fault. It's the bank's fault. No, yeah. no, it's not. And the reason that, oh, well, it's because the government is guaranteeing the loans, blah, blah, blah. Yes, because otherwise they won't make the loans because there's no collateral. You can't repossess a college degree.
Right.
You know, if I take out a loan and buy a car and I stiff the bank, they take my car. If I take out a loan and I buy a house and I don't make the mortgage payments, they take my house. They have a physical good.
Yep.
I'd go to Harvard for 4 years and run up $400,000 in student loan debts. And I say, bye. They can't come and, you know, bore a hole in my head and take the knowledge out.
Or even worse, you just go to another country.
Right.
Yeah. You know.
You can't even just charge it in bankruptcy. I'm like, you shouldn't be able to.
Well, they shouldn't make it in the first place. That's the problem. The system's broken where there's no, you know, like you talked about the, you know, getting a loan for a car or a house. If you roll up and you want to get a loan, you want to get a mortgage for a house, and you go to the mortgage broker and they go, what's your income? And you go, yeah, I work part time at the Stop and Rob and I make, you know, $8 an hour. They're going to go, nope, no house for you, no mortgage for you. You can't pay it. But if you go and you go up to the college and you go, you know, yes, sign me up for college. And the college goes, yeah, you know, 4-year degree is going to cost you $200,000. Here's the paperwork. Here's your loan.
Yeah, here you go. Can't pay back. That's not our problem.
Right. I mean, it's like, what, you know, what's the, who's, where's the person sitting there making that, you know, that calculation that they do for people that buy houses and cars that says, yeah, you're not going to be able to pay this back. We're not giving you a loan.
Yeah.
We don't think you're going to be able to complete 4 years of college.
And that it doesn't matter. It's, well,
and,
everyone,
and even if you do, the degree you've picked won't pay enough to ever pay us back.
Right. Because you'll be working at Starbucks.
Right.
You're going to be paying us forever.
You know what's funny is the jobs that actually pay money and are worthwhile. There are syndicates. There are lending groups that will lend money to students who for that thing. Like if you're I've seen it for doctors. I don't know if I've seen it for other things, but there's groups that'll like invest in your medical degree.
Oh wow.
Because they see it as a, you know, as a relatively, and you know, they spread it out, you know, shared risk and all that kind of stuff. But it's, you know, they're like, you know, you can, you, and you, you know, you, you're obviously you're going to pay them back and they get, you know, that's, you know, to them, that's a good investment, you know? So, but it's funny because the you know, degrees that will actually, you can actually earn a living at and pay the loan back are a good investment. It's like I tell my daughter all the time. She came to me I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, cause she's starting college in the fall. And she's like, I got this thing in the mail for a credit card. Should I get it? And I was like, no. and she said, yeah, but some people are saying it's a good way to get credit. And I said, what do you need credit for? What are you going to get that you need credit for?
Another credit card.
You know, this, I said, this is just a thing to hook you into a life of debt servitude.
Yep.
You know, and I sat her down and I explained, you know, the only thing you should go into debt for is things that offer a return. You know, you can invest in real estate. You can buy a car to get you to work if you need one. And, you know, things like that, that are going to like earn you money. Don't go into debt for consumer goods, TVs, shoes, clothes. You know, that's just ridiculous.
Don't rent to own a couch.
Yeah. I mean, you know, sit on the floor for a while, you know? I mean, goddamn, I had an apartment full of cinder blocks and bean bags for years, you know? I mean.
You mean you still don't?
Yeah.
That was just 2 years ago.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yep. Absolutely.
You know, they're hooking these kids on, you know, it's like, I remember when I was in college and.
Oh boy, here we go.
It was
uphill both ways in the snow.
It was, and I remember It was like the second or third year, and all of a sudden you started seeing like the table for, you know, for the credit card for Visa or whatever, or Discover, when you, you know, during registration, you know, sign, and they had, you know, that's when they started having the, you know, here, sign up for a credit card and you get a mug or whatever, you know, some stupid piece of swag that is worthless. And people were lined up signing up for credit cards. And I was just thinking, you know, damn, don't do it. Anyway, that Mueller guy, holy crap. You know,
I guess that was a bust, right?
Boy, you know, it, and it turns out even the New York Times, you know, the New York Times is like, we don't really think Mueller was in charge of this thing. You know,
of it's course
like,
not.
It's like he was a figurehead. And if you saw any of the video, oh my God, this guy, he was not in charge of this. I don't even know. I don't even think he actually read the report.
You know if they're doing? They're going to set it up to do it again.
No, they're not.
It wouldn't surprise me. Well, you know, Mueller, he lost control and he's old. So we're going to just authorize another investigation.
Yeah, but Trump's not going to go along with it again. I mean, the only reason he went along with it before was he felt like he didn't have a choice. And now he's going to be like, fuck you, I'm not doing it. We've already been down this road and it's ridiculous. Yeah.
And might, that's the whole thing. You know, it's like you look at, you know, would Mitt, you know, Mitt Romney would roll over and, oh, go ahead, we'll have another investigation. Oh, yeah. I want Democrats to like me.
Yeah, Trump doesn't care. I come back to that whole thing. I think Trump's one of the few politicians nobody has blackmail material on.
They would have had it by now.
Yeah. They tried like hell during the election.
They did. And ever since they tried.
When the best
they keep trying to connect him with Epstein.
Yeah, that ain't
but happening. The Epstein thing keeps getting worse and worse for Bill Clinton.
It gets worse and worse for the Democrats and you know the so called suicide attempt.
Uh-huh.
And again, you know, we know how many times Clinton was on the Lolita Express without his Secret Service agents.
Oh yeah.
Which tells me that if Donald Trump had been on it repeatedly, we would not.
Yeah,
absolutely. It'd be in the logs.
Yeah. Oh, sure. God. And it would have been front page news.
Oh, yeah. They'd be in Clinton. Who's Clinton? Trump. Trump was on the plane.
And that would have been the big news. That would have been late breaking, you know. And funny that we should segue into that, because what a surprise. Epstein was attacked in prison.
Yeah, they tried
to claim Yeah, they tried to claim it was a suicide attempt, except I've read reports where other inmates heard screaming.
Yeah.
So I don't think people scream when they're committing suicide or attempting suicide. I mean, I'm not an expert, obviously.
They say he was found semi-conscious with marks on his neck.
He died of a broken neck because he wouldn't eat the poison mushrooms.
Yeah.
Again, I'll go on record now. And if he dies in jail, it's going to be, well, the theory is he was murdered by white supremacists because he's Jewish and those Trump supporters are all white supremacists. So they killed him so nothing could come out against Trump.
That brings me up. That was something I was going to ask on the show. Do you think Epstein commits suicide in jail before he can testify and before he can?
Well,
because you got to remember this whole case, you know, they have all this evidence and I'm not a lawyer, but I'm pretty sure the way this works is if Epstein dies, the case dies with him and all that evidence disappears and nothing ever happens.
I don't know what happens to the evidence because it's not like the one that jumps out for me is Aaron Hernandez, the Patriots player who murdered someone. And he was in jail and he was found guilty and then he was on appeal. And he committed suicide while he was on appeal. And there's speculation he did so because technically when you appeal, it goes back to, well, you haven't been found guilty, even though you have, because you're appealing. And then, like, through some quirk, his family could get, I don't know if it was insurance money or something like that. But point being, that was a murder. They're not bringing the person who was killed back.
Right.
And the person who did it is dead.
Right.
So that, of course, they're going to leave. You've got ample evidence that Epstein facilitated human sex trafficking with underage girls.
Right.
So,
yeah, but if Epstein, quote, commits suicide.
With him out of the picture, though, there have been crimes committed by other parties.
Yeah, but you know what? Those, you know.
I'm also not a lawyer. And my only thing is, I could see a reason the investigation would stay open. Because
In a fair and just world.
In a fair and just world, it
would stay open. But in a fair and just world, Epstein would have been in jail for the last 30 years. I mean, come on. You know, we know how these things work. I mean, the reality is if Epstein manages to commit suicide, everything gets swept under the table. And we'd never hear about it ever again.
And like I said, all they're going to do is, you know, it's very interesting that he committed suicide.
Oh yeah, they'll pin it on some lifer with Nazi tattoos or something who's a Trump supporter.
You know, well, obviously they didn't want anything bad coming out about Trump, but you know, right. Which gives the impression that there was something.
Right. Because you know, somebody did a montage. I haven't looked at it again, but it's popped up on the montage of, you know, this is it for Trump.
Oh yeah.
It's been updated and extended.
Oh, yeah. Definitely the nail in the coffin.
Yeah. Yeah. For two and a half years worth of nails in the coffin for Trump.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Let's see. What else do we have?
Oh my God.
We haven't even talked about the human who is suing various Canadian.
Oh no!
What do you call them? Waxers? I mean, I would imagine cosmetologists.
I don't know.
Waxing. Estheticians. Is that the word? I don't know.
So. Yeah, you got to set it up better than that, Jay. So those of you who don't know, there are places women can go to get their junk waxed.
I think people know that, Alan.
Well, I'm just making it clear.
Okay.
So there is a guy who likes to think he's a woman,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to these places, and he's like, "I want you to wax my," you know, he's like, "I'm a woman. I want you to wax my," you know.
Nether region.
My junk. And
genitals.
They, you know, they look and they go, "You're a dude. I'm not touching that."
Right.
Yeah.
And so basically.
Well, it goes with the whole like, women can have penises.
No, they can't. Yeah.
Well, this is the common thought now.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so he is suing to force women to touch his penis.
Right.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, it's if you wouldn't date a trans whatever, you're trans.
I like the I forget who it was. Somebody said, you know, we've gone from forcing people to bake and cake to forcing women to touch your penis. Boy, that escalated quickly.
Yep.
Yeah. Feminism. Woo.
It's the logical outgrowth.
Yeah.
Feminism. Yep. Forcing women to touch penises.
Yeah.
What?
They're empowered.
What the hell? There's so much what the hell, and not only that, but this guy is a serious sicko.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You read his tweets, and it's all just, you know, he's like obsessed with young girls having periods.
Yes.
And by young girls, products. I'm talking like 10, 12 years old. And he keeps talking about it. And the reason I know it's 10 or 12 years old, because he keeps talking about it.
Yes. Just he's like, a shit Jesus, show.
Jesus. Dude, you are nothing but a perv. And you are doing this to, you know, enhance your perversion. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, I really think that in this guy's case, I think that's what's happening here.
And
he's using the transgender thing to have access.
Absolutely.
There are places in society that are kind of women only, women's restrooms, women's gym locker rooms. And I think he's using his transgender womanhood. I have trouble even saying it, to gain access to women in those women only spaces.
Oh yeah. He's posting about it.
Yeah, of course he is. And he's asking people like, if I go into the locker room, will I see a lot of girls with their tits and vaginas out? No, you won't. But that's in his mind, that's what is happening.
Right.
Like it's like the porn movie in his mind where there's a bunch of 12-year-old girls with tampons in and their tits out. You know, it's like this is what's happening in his head. So he thinks if he's a woman, air quotes, he can gain access to that.
Right.
And it is, you know, there was this whole, like, it was probably like 2 years ago where, like, trans people wanted access to restrooms, like in Target. Like, Target has this policy, like, where if you identify as such and such, you can go into your identified restroom. Okay.
Everyone was up in arms about North Carolina because they said, no, you will use the restroom that with your, and, you know, honestly, it boils down to something as simple as this is our own fucking prudery biting us on the ass. Because when you have a form and it says sex, you get 900 fucking idiots who are like, oh, it's often as possible. Ho, 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 ho. So they changed it to gender. So it was a little more genial. You know, that, oh, it's gender. You know, it's not your sex. That's dirty. This is your gender. And if that became the, you know, oh, I identify as a Tyrannosaurus, you know. And
right.
You have an innie or an outie. And if you honestly are someone who really feels they're in the wrong body.
Yeah.
There's treatments that can help.
Yeah, you need to go see a therapist.
Yeah. Or you can take hormones and have it the sex change. You can have surgery.
Yeah.
Come that. And first of all, there's
like
no,
anything, I think anything is going to be exploited by perverts.
Yep.
Number of air quotes women setting brand new records in women's sports.
Right.
Happened to be back of the pack male athletes.
Right.
Yeah, imagine how that works out.
There's no way all of those, quote, women woke up one day and discovered, you know what? I've been competing with men all this time, and I'm actually a woman. So they very cynically look and say, I'm a shitty male runner, but I could be a fucking kick-ass female runner.
Right. I mean, there are people who will sacrifice their gender, you know, being a man for being the top runner. I mean, of course there are, because that's how people are. You know, it's priorities. Is your priority being like,
well, also
like the pervert in the bathroom and the top runner, or is your priority like maintaining your status as an actual man?
Well, also don't forget that a lot of this where it's happening is in high school and collegiate sports.
Right.
And collegiate athletes get tuition paid for. So if you can decide in high school that suddenly you're a woman and you can be a top a top athlete and get, you know, a paid for college.
Mm-hmm.
Or the best softball, volleyball, whatever, track, whatever, which sure.
You won't have to get take out that student loan that'll right. fuck up the rest of your life.
Yeah.
There yep. you go. You know.
Yeah.
And it becomes a case of, no, I'm sorry. If you really are, then you're going to have to leave bits behind.
I think they need to treat it like a performance enhancing drugs, because that's what testosterone is.
Yeah. No, and
you know, well, I'm sorry, unless you can prove you haven't spent your life, in a soup of performance enhancing drugs, then you can't be on the women's team.
I mean, it's kind of amazing that feminists haven't come forward to say, wait a minute, we are seriously being marginalized here.
Some are, yeah. But the problem is they're trapped by their own intersectionality bullshit. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
That in the
they're getting it. If, yeah, they're getting
if they step out and say this intersectionality is bullshit, then everything they pinned their entire worldview on is bullshit as well. So they can't do it. It's a cognitive dissonance thing.
So why don't all the women who are complaining about the wage gap just say I identify as a male?
It's the same thing as the gays that can't say anything bad about Hamas and the Muslims and all that kind of stuff. They literally want to kill you, and you can't say anything bad about them because they're immersed in that intersectionality worldview.
Like Jews for Hitler.
Yeah, you know? same thing. Same exact thing. Yep.
Yeah, it's me.
Wait, before we end the show.
We're not ending it.
Well, soon we will. I mean, you know, it can't go on forever.
We always focus on
like all these like news stories and oh my god, everything is so awful and what the fuck is going on in the world. Tell me something good that happened this week.
I got a letter from my son at boot camp.
Yay!
He's passing all of his various tests. I know it's only Navy boot camp. It's not
Yeah.
Did they shave his head when he showed up?
Oh God, yeah.
Well, there you go.
That's exciting.
Did they yell at him?
They've been screaming at him. He wrote he got yelled at because he got a question right.
Yeah. The secret is, and I don't know if you need to tell him this, but they doesn't matter. The yelling is the point. The reason is immaterial.
And apparently he was louder than everyone else who answered. So that's why he got yelled at.
Yeah, they don't.
So, but
the yelling is the point. Then they don't care. It doesn't matter whether you do good, bad, or indifferent. It's
how you respond to stress.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's what they're doing.
You don't want the guy that's going to be like, but I got the question right. Why are you yelling at me?
Yep.
They're your superior officer. That's what they're going to do. And. Yeah.
It's boot camp. Boot camp is two things. One is it's institutionalized brainwashing, because that's what it is. It's also a stress inducer to see who's going to crack.
Yeah.
Because boot camp, while it's stressful, is not as stressful as combat.
Right.
It's very hard to simulate combat, but it's easy to put people in stressful situations.
Right.
And see if they break. And if you're going to break in boot camp, they want you out of there, because there's no way in hell you're going to survive anything else.
Yeah, so when people start shooting at you.
That's why they do what they do.
So,
How does he like the food?
He loves the food. The food.
Actually, I remember in the Marine Corps boot camp, the food was actually pretty damn good. And you get to eat as much as you want.
You can fit on your plate.
You have to eat it all.
Yes. You can fit on your tray.
Yeah.
So, and of course, I've been giving him grief, because our grocery bill has seriously been cut in half.
Wow.
It's like, I'm shocked every time we go to check out. And it's, you know, normally we go to, you know, we have a local BJ's Warehouse. It's one of the warehouse stores and, you know, Costco, Sam's Club, et cetera. And we go there every week. And rare was the week we got out of there for under like $150. And that's on top of, you know, because that's like all of the staples. And then we'll go to the, you know, we'll go to a grocery store to get like produce and bakery stuff. Because, you know, we don't go through four loaves of bread in a week.
Right.
So, same with like, you know, lettuce and tomatoes and potatoes and any produce that might.
You're not buying a case of lettuce.
Exactly. So, you know, the bagged salad is, you know, 14 pounds. You need a forklift to pick it up. But, you know, so we alternate. We go to the warehouse and then we go to the grocery store. And both of them have been cut like in half. It's mind boggling.
The last 2 days have been weather-wise. You know, Houston's they classify it as subtropical, which means that it's always humid all the time, and like, you know, 2/3 of the year it's also hot and humid. July, August being the worst of the hot and humid, and but this minor hurricane that pushed through last week fiddled with the weather enough that we had a huge, you know, cold front that came through and dried everything out. It's been mid-80s and less than 50% humidity for the last 2 days. And wow. It's been, I've just been so excited that I you know, it's insane. I've been going outside and I'm like, what? I'm outside and I'm not sweating. What is going on?
You know, I'm outside and breathe.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm loving it. So, yay.
I also have a new obsession.
Oh yeah?
A website called House Dreams.
Oh no.
And it's basically, they're not real estate. It's not a real estate company, but they take real estate listings of just fantastic mansions and castles and whatnot for sale around the country. And they're just, it's amazing. It's kind of like a, you know, this is what I would do if I hit the Powerball. There was a man.
That's what you do if you had Wayne money.
Alan. But I already know that if I hit the Powerball, I'm buying that island, that private island off the coast of Ireland. I am so there. I know the winners will be hard, but I'm so there.
They won't be worse than winners where you are now.
Yeah, probably not.
If you hit the Powerball, you can mm-hmm. winter in Arizona.
Yeah, that's right.
True. True. Yeah. But like private island, come on. It's so awesome. With a lighthouse.
You spent December through April, or you're mid-April.
I always thought I'd be a great hermit.
You got to grow the beard.
Make sure I have Wi-Fi. I'd be fine.
need the internet. But
yeah. So you want to know what happened to me this week?
What happened to you, Brita?
Well, earlier, I think it was last week, I saw this video, and it was three different women who, I guess it was 60 days. They took 60 days to learn how to do a pull-up. They trained to do one pull-up. And pull-ups for women is like super hard because the upper body strength thing versus, you know, the weight of our bodies, blah, blah, blah. Men, they're like, oh yeah, I can do a pull up. No big deal.
Even out of shape men can do a pull up.
Can you do a pull up, Alan?
I can do several.
Oh, damn you.
Alan's snorting.
Damn. Can you do a pull-up? Jay?
Yes.
Can you do a pull-up?
Core day workup, I do 4 sets of 10.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Wait.
Okay. So,
well, I'll put it this way, the Marine Corps minimum I think is still 3 pull-ups. So, but nobody ever does the minimum.
Okay. Anyway,
do just enough they won't yell at you.
There is
and do them quietly.
There's no such thing, Jay. They yell at you no matter what.
So I saw this video and these three women, admittedly, they're like little skinny women, and I'm thinking that may have something to do with it because anyway. It took them each like 60 days to train and work on their, you know, how to do a pull up. But they all managed to do one pull up at the end of 60 days. And I thought, God damn it. I go to the gym like 3 times a week. I work out. I do assisted pull ups all the time, blah, blah, blah. Like, why can't I do a pull up? Why can't I? I mean, I'm strong. And so I thought this week, I was like, okay, I'm going to try to do one pull up. And so I get to the machine, you know, it's like an assisted pull up machine, but I tried it just from, you know, jump from hanging. And all I can do literally is like little shoulder shrugs, kind of. I'm hanging there and I can kind of like pull my shoulders up a little bit. And I thought, well, shit. And so I'm going to have to work up to my body weight of pulling my body weight. But for the first time ever, I did 100-pound pull-ups. And that's the most pull-up I've ever done this so far, I think, since I've been trying to do this. I did 4 100-pound pull-ups.
That's awesome.
And, you know,
but isn't that
I weigh more. What?
Isn't that your body weight?
Oh. No.
I'm sorry.
I am 5 feet tall and I am made out of meat. So no, I weigh more than 100 pounds.
Yeah, but you're getting there.
100 pounds. I'm almost there. I mean, like compared to my body weight, it's pretty good. Like, you know, it's.
So when you first started doing this assisted pull-up thing, what did you do?
Like 40 pounds, like 50 pounds, really low.
All right then. See?
So, yeah.
Big improvement.
So I'm hoping that, you know, at some point I will be able to do my body weight and just like, you know, like a monster, like at least one time pull my body weight, but we'll see.
I was in my 40s before I could do a pull-up, Bruta. So
okay. I am also in my 40s, Jay.
So, yes, but you're young 40. You're early 40.
You're so cute. Well, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. And if I do it, I will get video. Because
awesome.
It's going to need to be documented.
And we're going to have Alan do pull-ups as well.
If
he's going to match you.
Sure, why not?
Sure. Anyway, so that was my thing for the week.
Cool.
Very cool. How about you? What good things happened to you this week? Oh, you just, never mind. You already said that about the weather. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the weather was awesome. Also, what, Rita?
Go on. Your Jeep.
My what?
Your Jeep.
Oh. yeah, there's a Jeep.
You bought a Jeep?
Oh, yeah, a long time ago. Well, months ago. Yeah,
but he's like doing stuff to the Jeep.
Is this a Jeep?
It's a 2007 Jeep JK Wrangler. Yeah.
It's not like a, you know, a 75 CJ, you know, the.
No, it's loving, it's,
but it's still it is, cool. Don't get me wrong.
It is. It's 2007. It's 12 years old, I guess. I think it was originally made in 2006, so 13. But, yeah, I got it. It was used, and, you know, I've wanted a Jeep pretty much all my life. And it, but it's always, it's a very ridiculous vehicle for the most part. It's not, you know, if you only can only have one car.
Yes.
Don't make it a Jeep.
It makes an excellent second vehicle.
Right. And it's, you know, it's fun to drive around. So anyway, I found this one online, that was for sale at this dealership. And I was looking at it, I was going, man, that looks nice. And, it was really ideal for what I wanted, because the interior was really nice. I mean, this is like the nicest 12-year-old car you ever saw. I mean, there was, you know, the carpet was nice. There was no scratches. It wasn't trashed on the inside. The seats weren't rotten. It was in really good shape. The body was in really good shape. No dents or damage or anything like that. The suspension was trash. The guy, whoever owned it, had put some little cheapy lift on it. So the suspension was trash, which was fine, but because I was going to replace that anyway.
Right.
And it had the, you know, original plastic bumpers and all that. So I had basically had the complete suspension, at a really good 3.5-inch lift put on it, put new tires and wheels on it. It's 35-inch BF Goodrich, you know, all terrains. Put new front and rear bumpers on it, put a winch on it, put a new hard top on it, did some other stuff. And, you know, I didn't do the suspension myself because I don't know anything about suspensions, and that's like the most critical part of the vehicle. So I paid an actual mechanic that actually knows what he's doing to do that. But everything else I've done to it myself. So
nice.
And it's only got 95,000 miles on it. So,
oh my gosh.
I know.
I've thought about it, but Jeeps in this area are psychotic.
They're trashed, right? So you get two, basically. Well, you get one kind of. Usually, you get one kind of Jeep for sale, and it's completely trashed. Because Jeeps are one of those things that if people have one and it's still decent, they don't sell it.
Right. Right. Well, I'm talking like late '90s Jeeps are going for $7,000 or $8,000.
Oh yeah, Jeeps, and they got rust all over them, and
yeah, it's 200,000 miles. Yeah, I'm like,
Jeeps hold their value really well for some reason. I don't know.
Why, like, no, I don't want one that bad. So if I were, you know, I mean, if I stumbled into a good deal, it's funny, when we drove up to New England over Fourth of July, driving through Maine, and there's like a. I was like a 2001, early 2000s Jeep for like $2,000. I was like, shit, maybe I should buy that. And I'm like, and then I got to get it registered from 8 states away. So yeah, no.
Yeah. You know, there's a certain point where it's you're just going to put so much money into it. It's right. Not worth it. I mean, you know, you see these guys, you know, that, I don't know how they do it, but it's like they've got, you know, some 40-year-old Jeep, and, you know, they've swapped out 1-ton axles on it and put a Hemi V8 in it and made it this, you know, rock crawling beast of a thing. And, you know, they put $50,000 into it at least. And, you know, I'm like, okay. And then they take it out and roll it on a rock.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love the ones do the hill climb.
Yeah.
Where they'll get like halfway up the hill and then it just rolls over.
There you go. Oh, there went $50,000. There went $100,000.
Oops. Okay.
You started this, Brita. You got us talking about cars.
Yeah. I know.
It's all your fault. So, okay. Yeah, I've been really enjoying driving the Jeep around.
That's just funny because I've hit midlife crisis full on, and I'm like, I hit the Facebook classifieds every once in a while looking for, like, you know, or yeah, I just kind of.
Oh, have you seen the new Corvette, Jay?
I wonder what the hell is going to happen with that. Because
the 2020 Corvette is a mid engine.
It's 3 second 0-60 time.
Yeah. And that's the lowest.
Yeah.
That's like the lowest, cheapest version. That's before all the performance enhancing stuff.
I don't like how it looks.
It I'll give you, it does not look like a Corvette.
No,
it
looks it looks like a what was that? It looks like a
Honda Civic with fins or something.
It looks like that Ford. What's the Ford?
E40.
Yeah.
Ugh. But it doesn't. No. It should have gullwing doors.
But.
That's going to be awesome in 2025.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't buy the first year. No way.
No. I mean, when the 2020s.
Oh,
are
I got you. When the.
Going
when the,
up. At, yeah, when and they're 20. $5,000.
Yeah,
that may be enough to sell the Harley, so I have room in the garage.
Yeah, there you go.
Or maybe just built a larger garage.
Yep.
I get it as a a relative purist. I mean, I'm like, my favorite Corvette, honestly, is the late 70s, early 80s.
Of course. Duh. Big,
it's what I grew up with. That to me is the Corvette. It's like, just like Roger Moore is James Bond.
Because that's not true at all, Jay. You're completely wrong about that.
Yeah.
Well, you're completely wrong about that.
Or perhaps George Lazenby.
The
1979 Corvette is gorgeous.
It's just, I really like it. I like the style. But again, it's because
the proper answers to those questions are the proper Chevrolet Corvette is the 1963 Corvette. The proper James Bond is Sean Connery. And anybody
who is Sean who is James Bond in 1963?
Sean Connery.
Was he?
Go.
I think so. Was there a James Bond in 1963? I don't know if they did him that early.
What is the first?
There's... James, Sean Connery, yes.
All right.
Oh, God. Don't ever, look up images for 79.
From Corvette. Russia with Love. From Russia with Love was
1963. There you go.
Sean Connery. So there you go.
There's all kinds of fuckery.
I think that should be the takeaway quote from the show.
All kinds of fuckery? What are you talking about?
Of doing Google images for 1979 Corvette.
Oh, don't do that. That's just wrong. Plus, the 79 Corvette was an awful year for Corvettes. Just awful.
Mechanically, I will not disagree in any way, shape, or form. It's all aesthetically. There's just something about that giant swoopy hood. Ugh. And the
swoopy.
And was it T-Roof or Targa? I don't remember. But it's just the rims, everything is just aesthetically, I like it. I know that mechanically they were awful. Not as awful as the early 80s, where they put out something like 200 horsepower. It's like barely faster than my Toyota RAV4. But again, they've been getting better and better. I distinctly remember going to a Corvette rally in late 90s where there was a whole bunch of the big jacked up ZR1s with the fancy engines and they're all blah, 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 blah. And they were doing an autocross in the parking lot, which is more about handling than raw power. And the first place winner, for the guy who had the fastest time for a while had a 65 Vette that was set up for autocross, and the dude knew how to drive. I mean, he just hung right tight on the corners and just nailed it. And then a guy had a brand new C5 Corvette, bone stock. He rolls up to the starting line and it's just, and all the ZR1 guys are like, is it running? And then he proceeded to absolutely smoke the course. He came in like 3 whole seconds faster than the previous fastest guy, which is, I mean, this is like, the guy was first by a tenth of a second, and this guy came and beat him by 3 full seconds. And the ZR1 guy's like, studiously ignoring the C5 Corvette. Yeah. And gotten better since then.
Big breaks and low end torque wins every time on those things.
Yeah. And center of gravity and yeah. and the mid engine is going to do amazing things for that.
Yeah.
I fully agree. It should be a front engine. It should be a ridiculously large.
I'm not really a car guy, but it's a well-known fact that the Chevrolet Corvette is like the cheapest production sports car in the world. Yeah. For what you get out of it, it is the most sports car for your money.
I'm just looking
of any car, you know, it outperforms dollar per dollar. It outperforms everything else. And the mid-engine version is going to be, can you imagine what the mid-engine version is going to look like once they get the performance tuning set up on that?
I want to see what Callaway does with it.
Yeah, it's going to be insane.
Oh, and you're legitimately going to eat Ferraris in this thing.
Oh, yeah.
Every anyway, turn in a car. Poor Breed is in a coma. Like, I don't care.
I brought it up.
That's right.
But it, and the baseline is 60 grand. It's barely expensive than a thing.
Yes. I mean, can you imagine a mid engine sports car, US made, that can do 0 to 60 in 3 seconds, and it's only $60,000? My God.
When in a day where a fully loaded Chevy Suburban is going to cost you 80 grand.
Right. Yeah. They're going to sell every one of those they can make.
I actually feel kind of bad for the guys that bought the 2019. Fucked hard.
Yeah.
And not in the fun way. They're just like, I just dropped $85,000 on this Corvette. Isn't it awesome? And then dude's like, I spent 60 and I can run rings around you.
Yep.
495 horsepower in the base model.
I know. It's insane.
And it can corner. Yeah. You know, it's like, well, yeah, for the same price, you can get the Dodge Hellcat Charger.
Yeah, but the Hellcat Charger can't turn.
Yeah, the Hellcat Charger could probably come close to the vet in the quarter mile, 0 to 60, but you put it on any kind of turns, and the Corvette's like, bye, see you later. Now, on the flip side, I'm going to throw it right out there and say, General Motors has been absolutely fucking horrible with mid-engines. Pontiac Fiero. So, one would hope they've learned from their mistakes, but it's General Motors. Of course they haven't.
We'll find out.
Maybe the 2020s will be, you know, not horrific balls of suck and fail, too.
If they can keep them cool.
Yeah.
They got like split radiators and shit. I mean, it's a bizarre system.
And they're gonna have like a tiny luggage area in the front and a tiny back.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Well, you buy that car, you're not buying it for the trunk space.
That's true. That's a good point. All right. I think we've gone way, way over.
We have.
That's okay.
We got bonus minutes.
Yeah. Rita's gnawing her arm off to get away from us. So.
How can I segue into the exit?
I think in it, we're Alan and I are talking cars. You're going to need like a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
So, but just FYI, week after next, I'm out of town.
Again? Okay. Jesus, Jay.
Oh, it's summer. It's summer. Summer's a busy time.
Jay has a job.
That's, I don't.
August 8th, right? Is that what you're saying?
Correct. I will be in Minnesota.
Well, we'll either find a guest or we'll just do it ourselves again.
Okay.
You'll need a so this is to the Squirrel Report audience. If you are a extrovert or you can fake being one like me, then let Alan or Brita know and you can be a co-host.
Yeah, but you know what? Don't if you've never used Skype and you don't know how to set it up and you don't you know, don't
talk to your grandchildren about getting things set up.
Yeah, we kind of want people that we're not going to have to babysit. I've done it and I don't want to. No offense, but you know, bring your A game.
Okay.
Because what was the?
I'm making a face, Alan. I know. Totally making a face.
But you can do this. You can do this with Skype on an iPhone and the iPods. I don't know if
I don't know if it works.
I don't know how it works on a on an Android because I've never done it on one. But I know it works. Jay and Brita both use Skype on an iThing, so it works fine. So if you want to do it, put Skype on your phone, make a call to somebody else, figure out how it works, and let us know. We'd love to have you because God knows we need some fresh stories.
Fresh meat. Yeah. Fresh meat. Yeah.
Because Brita and I get tired of talking all the time.
Yeah. Good night, everybody. We're done.
Yep, we're done. We'll be back next week.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Good night.